Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't right now.
Learning from their mistakes. I think you're being, if they're being honest with themselves.
Sunday, it's the Lord's Day, you're being charitable. I get it.
If they're being honest with themselves, then they're going to have to look at, okay, where did we miss? Where did we over-evaluate Solomon Thomas? Let's make sure that when it comes to that, if that has been identified, just make sure we don't do it again.
Because that's their guy. They can't say, well, Eric Armstead wasn't our, you know, right. Hey, that wasn't our guy. That didn't work out. Whoever they were taking beforehand, that wasn't our guy. That's their guy.
Right. And remember, after that draft, which was the Niners' first draft since the regime change, here's the height of ridiculousness. The day after the draft, almost every major media outlet declared the 49ers winners of the draft. A day after the draft.
Yep.
John Lynch, huge winner. Like you said, he fleeced some other people. He got steals that other people didn't recognize. Before these guys even had a chance to put on a Niners hat, they were deemed building blocks for the resurgence of this franchise. Has not worked out that way, which is why you don't evaluate drafts the day after.
No. No, you don't, but we got to get clicks. Right. You know, that's what our job is, to get clicks. I'm just looking offensively. Goodwin.
Does Golden Tate excite you? What if they went out and got a Golden Tate?
I'm all for. I like Golden Tate.
As a one?
Man, at this stage, nah.
Yeah, he's not a one to me.
He's you know what? He's another two. You're stacking twos.
He's just more of a proven two than Pettis is all, right?
There are a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. That's what I'm told. I don't know this. I'm telling you what I read and what I watch.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wide receivers. Could be multiple wide receivers in round one taken. Would you be against moving down from two, getting more picks, and taking a lead wide receiver later in the first round and stacking more picks? Or do you think the two pick is such a game changer? An edge rusher could be, he's such a game changer, you cannot afford to pass up on a game changer.
Well, given what we've seen with Solomon Thomas, it makes you feel like, yeah, maybe that's not the way to go. But everything, and I'm just going to defer to the knowledge of the draft Knicks, a couple of guys at the very minimum, in terms of guys who go get the quarterback, they're said to be absolute locks to be difference makers in the NFL. And so when I hear enough people like Mel Kiper and, you know, all the guys who do the mock drafts and, you know, go combine a loser, they all say that there are legit difference makers, immediate difference makers to be had in this pass rusher rich draft. I'm going to believe them. That's why I want the Niners to hang on to the two, because if they get, and somebody on the text line threw this out, who's to say Solomon Thomas doesn't have a breakout year if they get a legit edge rusher to kind of take a little bit of the attention off it?
You know what's interesting to me? I was going over the
maybe he's a Robin, not a Batman.
You need your fair share of Robins, right? You just, the way the game is played, you can't have nothing but Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to have some Robins. You better have a damn good Robin. A couple of damn good Robins.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm on the 49er website because I was looking through their depth chart. The face is their franchise. Who do you think they would be? I would think it'd be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
The three faces they have on the page of the depth chart. They've got Joe Staley. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great. There's no getting around anything. He's going to go down as one of the great 49ers.
Right.
Isn't he?
Yeah. Fair but he's enough. An offensive lineman, not the sexiest pick for your face of the franchise.
No. DeForest Buckner. Okay.
Had a nice year last year.
Yeah. And then they go with Kittle, the tight end. They go with George Kittle. Where's Jimmy Grapes? Where's Jimmy G?
Maybe they have some sort of rule where you have to have played in 10 games before you get highlighted on their website. I don't know.
Wow, that was harsh. That was harsh. 95795, that's the Chilton Auto Body text line if you want to jump in on that. And also you can hit us at 888-957-9570. Listen, this might be a day for Raider fan to crow a little bit. Give me a little Raider Rodney. Raider Rodney and Milpitas. Is this because the Raiders haven't had a lot of chance to crow your team's moving on out. But is this a chance for you guys to kind of spread the wings a little bit and say, hey, you know what? If we're going out, we're going out big.
The Raiders made a coup. It was a pick. It was a coup. A third and a fifth. I thought for sure it was one of our number ones. I was like 80-90% waiting to hear when they said we got him, that it was the number one pick. You know what? Okay, I'm good with it. But when I heard it was a third and a fifth, oh, my God. I'm going, he knows he's going to a team that's rebuilding. He's going to a losing team, the fourth worst team in the league, and he still came and signed that contract. Yeah, it's a lot of money, and $30 million guaranteed, $50 million. God, it's a lot of money, okay? But at the same time, I'm telling you right now, the way the Raiders traded their draft picks, yes, Khalil Mack was a bone, that was a bone thing. We made a big, big mistake, okay? So be it. We got two number ones out of it. We got four picks in the first 35 picks. We get Antonio Brown, and we still have those picks. No, we are sitting fat. And not only that, but this can't be overlooked. I'm serious about this. You're looking at one of the deepest defensive line drafts in my 20 years. I've been watching the draft since the 80s. When Kyle Murray, if Kyle Murray goes first, which looks like he is, those top three players, defensive linemen, Williams, Allen, and Boza, we get one of those, probably more likely it's going to be Allen. Regardless, those guys are outstanding players, potentially. I hate to use that word, but it's true. But right now, I'm telling you, I'm sitting really fat. I'm a Raider fan. I am super.
Way to
happy.
Go. Thanks, Rodney.
Hey, Raider Rodney is like a swarm of bees chasing you right now. Did you hear that?
Well, he was going. It did sound like he was a beekeeper. He sounded like he was out there harvesting honey here on a Sunday afternoon. It's his hobby.
He was very calm while he was doing it, too.
Those guys are. Have you ever worn the beekeeper suit?
I have not.
No?
No. I have no interest in that. I'm allergic to bees. If I get stung multiple times,
if I get stung once,
it'd be really bad.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. I don't know if I'm EpiPen bad, but I swole up pretty good.
You're all swole.
I am swole. There's no question about it. If I'm Niner guy, aren't I looking at this saying, what the heck am I paying all this money for going to Levi's Stadium? I have seen nothing but garbage since they've opened that place.
Well, and one of our texters, and thanks for the text in the 650, let's see. Actually, no, it was the 415.
Oh, yeah, so 650. Suck
honestly,
it.
There are a lot of old 49ers fans who aren't completely sold on Jimmy G. Interesting.
I got to be honest with you. Have we seen enough to determine?
No.
So if I ask you today, we have two teams in the Bay Area as of now. You have to take guys from both teams to make up a club if we only have one team. Who's your quarterback? Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr?
Garoppolo.
Seriously?
Still, yeah.
You're kidding me. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's interesting. You've seen enough from Garoppolo. I don't just mean here, but even with Pep.
I need my quarterback to be a leader of men, and I just don't think Carr is a great guy by all accounts. He is a very good quarterback. I don't think he's the type of guy that makes his teammates want to run through a wall. Just my opinion.
That's interesting.
Whereas we saw, if there's one area of Jimmy G's game that I am sold on, it's his ability to rally the troops, to effectively connect with everybody, not just the ones in practice, but he's the type of guy that has, he reminds me of Steph Curry. Steph Curry's got relationships that are virtually the same, going from the janitors and security guards and ushers all the way up to the guys in the big office. And I think Jimmy G is that type of guy. He's kind of a one-man unifying force.
Really?
That's the one thing that I'm convinced he's very good at.
That's interesting. I'm intrigued by that. Now, I watch the 49ers, but I'm a little bit more involved with the Raiders. I was doing pre and post last season on the radio here on 95.7 The Game. By the way, you're listening. Ooh, we can sneak it in. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Well done.
Urban and Cozumel. I got it in like with 17 seconds to go. Urban and Cozumel with you until 4 o'clock today. So I know a little bit more about the Raiders, but I do watch the 49ers because you have to follow both as you're doing this stuff.
Of course.
I tell you, there are times Derek Carr was infuriatingly not good last year. Infuriatingly. Then there were times when I was infuriated at the lack of fairness with which he was treated by some people. Mm-hmm. They said he was crying in one game and the offensive line did. Listen, there's a story out there that the offensive line crapped on him in that game a couple of years ago in Washington,
right,
when they were kneeling for the anthem and he was standing up and they said, oh, you don't got our back as our quarterback? And they let him get the crap kicked out of him for that night.
I don't buy that, do you?
I do.
Really?
I do buy some of that.
Wow.
Well, I find it interesting because I...
Why? That's like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah,
right?
I know. It was an interesting game, though. They snapping the ball early and some really funky things.
Something happened.
Yeah, something.
I'm surprised it hasn't come out though. I mean,
I'm not.
There's no secrets anymore.
I have been told that there might have been a layer of intimidation that went on.
Wow, like mafia stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, someone asked
the
Raider a question.
Mafia.
Someone asked a question. A larger individual said, "Don't write a darn thing about that" in more colorful language.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever ask that question again, and it was over.
That I would buy.
Because, I mean, you've been in locker rooms. I've been intimidated by larger athletes in my career as an announcer.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Couldn't, you know what?
It's a line from a movie, everyone.
You couldn't do that movie now.
Sure you could. You
couldn't do that movie now.
Nah, you're right. You're probably right.
You couldn't do that movie now.
The jive talking scene would not play well.
It's hilarious.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. You can't win with him. I'll tell you that, brother. Can't win with him. No, Jimmy G is the kind of guy to take adult film stars on dates. There's your leader of men.
What's that?
Do you think that garnered? See, if I'm the 49ers and I just signed him to the big money deal, and he's taken C-list adult film stars to dinner, and it's filmed and it's shown,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the guy I want as the face of my club. Now, I'm not saying that's the only thing that defines him, but it's part of the picture that defines him.
Pimpin' ain't easy.
That defines Derek Carr is off the field, great family man.
Least likely guy to be with a C-list porn star.
Exactly. That's the guy I'm talking about. But he also heads a camp in the offseason for the wide receivers. Come on down. We're going to work. He and Crab.
Mm-hmm.
We're tight that way.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, if I can only pick one of the two right now, now, week eight of the NFL season, it might change. Right now, I got to go Derek Carr.
Let's throw it out to the audience. You think they can be objective? Because we're going to get, what I'm guessing we're going to get, is if you're a Niner fan, you're going to say you're taking Carr. I'm sorry, Garoppolo. If you're a Raider fan, you're going to say you're taking Carr. Prove me wrong.
I disagree with you. I think I'm going to give Bay Area sports fan a chance and a belief of fairness. I think that they will take their colors off and determine which quarterback. If I'm 49er.
Hell no.
If I'm 49er fan and I say to you, you could have Derek Carr for Jimmy Garoppolo right now, would you take him? And I'm going to do the same thing for Raider fans.
That's a great question. I want to hear.
Okay.
If there's Niner fans out there, I want to hear exactly why. I think that's a great question.
Yeah. It's interesting. Jimmy G is a freaking joke from the 925. Let's see.
The dude can't throw a deep ball.
There you go.
He has almost as many career picks as TDs.
Yeah,
he's essentially a 30-year-old rookie.
Did we get to this one? Jimmy G is shouting, not that good. His career stats are less than any QB's stats from last season.
Stop yelling at me.
Well, no, that's what I'm doing the text line.
I know, that's what I'm saying to the text line. Stop yelling, we can hear you.
That's an interesting one. All right, 925 is being honest. I'm a Raider fan, I'm taking Carr. So we'll get to that. 888-957-9570. I always have a hard time with the phone number. You know why? Because I've lost the training to remember phone numbers.
How'd you lose it?
Well, when you're a kid, you had it. Now what do you do? Pick up your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael Urban.
That's right. Whenever I get to, I have to sign my daughters up for something at school, right?
Yeah.
Online. And then it gets to, they want, you know, their phone number. And I'm like, oh God, I got to go find my phone.
Yeah.
Cue them up.
Right.
Find out what their number is because I don't have it memorized.
It's my deal with my house
right.
And my wife.
How many numbers do you have memorized?
I have my number memorized. I'm getting close on my wife's. My home, I'm pretty close. My daughter's because it's my wife's old phone. But that's it.
That's quite a few, though, for today.
Yeah, for today.
I've got my dad's house, and that's it.
I don't know my mom. Mine is mom.
The house I grew up in, that's the only number I know.
I remember the phone numbers from the houses I grew up in. Don't remember the one I have and I currently live in. Okay? And that's Michigan in the 70s and 80s.
Jimmy over Carr, says the 925, for my team only because I think Jimmy might have a higher ceiling.
That's going to be an interesting question. because when Derek Carr had a better infrastructure around him, he led this team to a 12-4 season. Was it 11-5, 12-4?
12-4.
If he doesn't get hurt, I'm making the case he's the MVP of the AFC.
Pretty good chance of it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good ceiling if you put guys around him. You got Antonio Brown now. You got Jordy Nelson now. What else are they going to do?
Or did he peak then, and some of the shots he's taken since have made him gun-shy?
That's
because
a good question.
When the Raiders were going good, it was, look how quickly Carr gets the ball out. Man, he's got a quick release. When they stunk, it was, he's getting rid of the ball too quick. He's giving up on plays too quick. It's like the exact same guy doing the exact same thing with the explanations or the breakdown of his performance being completely opposite.
It was kind of funny. There was, I believe it was a fourth down in which he threw it away. It was a fourth down play. It's late in the game. Like, you just take a chance, right?
You don't throw it away.
But he, like, threw it away. And everyone's walking off the field. And they're like, it is fourth down. So that's why.
Just win, baby.
I'm not sure which Derek Carr is, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe he hit the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great ceiling. But now he's, you know, descending down the ladder.
Hey, before we take a break, I want to read one more text to you, okay?
Please do.
It's from the 408.
Is it about choosing a hat?
No.
Okay.
OMG, how many times has this station done this poll? LOL, all good, though. I'll play the guy who is one of the five in NFL history to get over 100 TDs in his first four seasons.
All caps. Thank you, 408. Well, he's in the 408. That's far away from
me. Stop yelling.
I needed to hear him.
It's a Sunday. Let's relax.
I'm guessing that that's Derek Carr.
Somebody's apologizing for misspelling while they're texting and driving. You're fine. You can misspell. You can have bad grammar. We are not Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle will go down your road if you are not properly punctuated on the text line.
I will go down your road if you're texting and driving. Not a fan.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
It can wait.
Yeah, it can wait. There's nothing that you can tell us that's going to blow our mind quite as much. So be safe on the roads, Urban and Cozumel. We're here until 4. We'll do a little bit more on this. We're going to weave back into the Golden State Warriors, who get the G League Phoenix Suns tonight. That should be a laugher. But we're going to have complete coverage right here on your home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Urban and Cozumel.
Now we're slamming. There's a new documentary. It's out, I think it starts tomorrow, on Epics, on punk music. It's start, and then it's growth in New York and, you know, the influence from London. There's a great, it's like a four-part documentary on punk music. I think I'm down with that. Seminal time in music. Punk. Maybe the rap of its time. Your thoughts. 1:17 the time. Jim Cozumel, Michael Urban with you on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks so much as you're driving around the Bay Area on a gorgeous Sunday. Maybe doing some family time. Maybe you're outside weeding. Maybe mowing the lawn with your headset on. Maybe you're just driving around having a good time. Coming into the city for a gorgeous walkabout on the Embarcadero. Well, we say thank you to listening to 95.7 The Game, as we gear up for another exciting night of Golden State Warriors basketball. They take on the Phoenix Suns. We'll have all the coverage starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then all week long, starting tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, my good friend Michael Urban is going to be filling in on the pregame show. And then we're going to get going with Joe Lowe and Dibbs. So it's going to be a busy, busy week over at 95.7 The Game. And we got a lot of NFL discussion going. We're going to get to your phone calls in just a second. We're waiting to pick up with our guest, Robert Mays from The Ringer, covers the National Football League. He's got some good stuff up at The Ringer. And stuff that I like, easy reads. When I'm into sports, I want easy reads. Don't give me the deep dives. Just give me the easy. Give me the top 40. Give me the fluff. All right? I want you to give me something entitled The 10 Best Offensive Players in the 2019 NFL Free Agency. You know what? I can follow that. That's an easy one. Don't give me deep dives into secret players who have slid through the system and you might be able to figure out. I don't want that. I want the big, large strokes. And do they fit? I don't need Nick Foles. Le'Veon Bell, how does he fit my team? Do we have enough money? What would he do for us offensively? All of a sudden, and I like that he says potential landing spots, Jets, Raiders, Buccaneers. If the Raiders go out and they've already gotten Antonio Brown and then they add Le'Veon Bell, how excited are you? If you're a 49er fan, what are you saying to your team? What are you thinking about for your club? I mean, do you sit there as a 49er fan and say, I thought last year I was on the cusp of something. We were going to grow to a certain level. It got derailed. The game, the 5 or 6 games at the end of the previous season when Garoppolo comes in to start and they're winning all those games, I thought it gave us a little bit of a false sense of security. And then to have to go through last year, which was painful all the way. Nothing against the guys in the field. You get injuries, it's going to happen. But you thought before the season started it was going to be your time, and it wasn't your time. What are you saying to your squad if you're watching the team in the Bay who's leaving you be more proactive than the team that is staying? Oh, my goodness. 888-957-9570. Let's jump to a quick phone call before we get to Robert Mays. Can you give me Darren? Is it Duran or Darren? Darren in San Francisco. Darren, you're a Niner fan. Hey, how's it going? Welcome into 95.7 The Game.
How you doing, man? It's Darion, though.
Oh, Darion. I apologize. It was I've misread the board, Darion, and I apologize.
Yeah, man.
What do you got for me? What's going down? What do you got on the swap of quarterbacks?
Yeah, I'm not totally sold on Jimmy G as a Niner fan, but seeing what Derek Carr has been going through, definitely don't want him on the Niners. Like you guys said, he's a 30-year-old rookie. Like, you're not getting better, my guy. You've been in the league for how many years and really no progression. So, definitely not feeling that from him. And that's pretty much it. That's really much I had to say.
So you're a Niner fan. You watched the other team get Antonio Brown, the guy who wanted to go to your team. And you see them sitting here. You see them in their drafts not really doing great things. George Kittle, certainly a find.
Mm-hmm.
I like the offensive, what was it, the right tackle they got from Notre Dame last year?
McGlinchey.
Mm-hmm. I like that as well. If you're a 49er fan and you've seen bad football now for what, half a dozen years almost? What are you saying? What do you think of your team as you watch the other team who's leaving go out and be proactive?
I just hope that in the third and fifth round, we better get someone that can contribute or someone that's going to contribute for a very long time. You know, maybe not this year, but continuing next season or something. Because we can't pass that up. That was a hell of a deal that we passed up. And now we're still without a number one receiver. I don't know what we're going to do with free agency towards the offense. So I'm not sure what they're thinking up there in the office, but we shouldn't have missed out on that right there.
I agree. I'm on your side on that one, Darian. Thank you very much. Herbs, I'll tell you, if you are, just as we can't say the move for the Raiders of getting Antonio Brown instantly makes him a playoff team, things have to play out. Can I be so forgiving of the 49ers and say, let's let everything play out? Shouldn't I expect more as a 49er fan? Do more for me. You guys have stunk long enough.
So you're giving them no pass that their projected starting quarterback and bell cow back were both injured for the majority of the year?
I am.
That's the only thing. That's the only reason why I don't think they should be, the fire should be at their feet right now.
Okay. I'm going to use that. Let's use that as the baseline for this discussion. Okay. Add those two guys for 16 games last year. Those two guys. What were they, a 3-win team last year?
Yes.
I believe 3-win team.
Yep.
How many more wins would they have had? And let's remember.
I can't answer
I know
that.
Some people who thought the 49ers were a 9 or 10 win team at the start of the year when they thought they were going to have McKinley and they thought they were going to have Garoppolo. Now we saw everything play out.
I was a 7-9 guy.
I was a 6-10 guy.
Okay.
I was a 6-10. If things spun right, I'd have gone 7-9. But they would have had to have been extremely right for them to get 7-9. And I'm telling you, if they had those two guys, I think my 6-10 is right on. I don't think George Kittle is any better than he was with the two guys he had to work with this year.
I think George Kittle being as good as he is in part, that should be heartening to the Niners because Kittle was schemed open no matter who the quarterback was. He was great for every quarterback, which means it's either just he's great all on his own or the play calling is great. I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Well, you know what? That's interesting. When you bring up play calling, have we not seen the best of Kyle Shanahan? Because he hasn't had all the bullets in a chamber yet.
Yeah, we haven't, I don't think.
So if we're saying like the loss in Green Bay where he really did coach a team into a game, we thought that was going to be an embarrassing game. It ended up being one of the best. Was that a Sunday night or a Monday night game that they played up in Green Bay? That was one of the best games we had that people had to watch during the NBA season, NFL season. Fair enough?
Yeah, agreed.
So I wonder if you give him more chips, can he play a better game of poker? But my question is, he's also in charge of getting the chips. I mean, we always point to John Lynch.
Right.
Shanahan's the guy who said Lynch is the guy who's going to be my GM.
Right. Shanahan.
Yeah.
Shanahan has veto power.
He's a lead dog on a sled.
Right.
And what do they say?
It's dangerous. It's difficult. It's how many guys have been successful in a dual role like that? Even though he's not officially the decision maker, but they've told us pretty much it's Kyle's show to run. And John is, I mean, does a GM ever report to a head coach? I don't know. The dynamic's really odd.
You know what? I give this to 49er fan from the 925. I did not want Antonio Brown because he's a diva, not a good team player or role model. He could disrupt the locker room. Brown has been acting very crazy and also let down his teammates at the end of last year. Let's not forget. This is a guy who with a game to play, and I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they won, would still have been in the discussion for a playoff position. He crapped out. He said, you know what, guys? Not going to do it. He got into a verbal fisticuffs with his quarterback and something with his coach. Go home. He doesn't come back. Is it?
Which makes him perfect for the Raiders, doesn't it?
Yeah, everyone. Yeah,
he fits that renegade style.
Yeah, but are we? But is that? Or do we throw that renegade thing at the Raiders because of Al Davis years and years ago? Mark Davis's crew.
Yes, that's exactly why
we do it.
There's no doubt. By the way, Kelechi Osemele apparently got traded to the Jets. My Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets
guy.
Yeah.
How'd you be a Jets guy?
I'm the youngest of three brothers. I'll do this as quick as I can.
And no, take your time.
When you're a little kid, who do you root for? The best teams, right? So when I was a little kid, it seemed like the Cowboys and Steelers were always in the Super Bowl. So I was a Cowboys fan and had Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson, Tony Dorsett. I had all those jerseys. My older brothers just were relentless in calling me a front runner. And they were right. Kids are front runners. But I got sick of it one day, and so I looked in the newspaper for the worst team in football and said, that's going to be my squad, and it was the Jets.
That's interesting.
And then the Jets made the playoffs next year, and they called me a front runner again.
Ah, maybe you're the good luck charm.
No, they've been pretty bad for a good long time now. So
if you look at this on the 49ers side, and you say, all right, let's give them a pass. Two guys were hurt. We're going to get those guys back. Let's say they become the player we thought they were going to be. And I'm all for that. I'm not going to deny that that could very well happen. What else do they need to do to become competitive?
Get a lot better in the secondary. Get a couple guys who can get to the quarterback. And find somebody, I don't know, maybe they've already got it in Fred Warner, but you need a legit number one linebacker. I mean, is DeForest Buckner that for you?
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
He had a great year.
But you can also you need more of those pretty good guys.
I'd love it if he was the Robin among the linebackers.
So, this is how you want to build your team, and everyone says you got to build it through the draft. That's great if you've shown that you can draft that way.
Right. And they haven't.
But you also can utilize free agency to move that timeline up in a far quicker pace. I was the guy who 2 months ago was saying, the 49ers are on the verge of being the Rams of 2 years ago and the Bears of this last season.
Wow.
All they had to do was offensively two things. Antonio Brown, Kareem Hunt. You bring me those two guys, all of a sudden, I've got a genius head coach offensive coordinator guy. I got a quarterback I believe in. I got a running back who I already think is going to be there. I would have been one of those magical teams that could outscore you in a game 49-42. Right?
Yeah, and you would have had to because the defense is no great shakes.
You would have had to have been creative and say, give a 3 and a 5 for 1 and stick your neck out on a guy who had an off-field issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I was willing to do that, right?
Yeah.
Because that's I'm all for that. Giving guys chances. I'm all
second
for
chances.
That. Second chance Jim. That's what they call me. Second chance Coase. All right? But they've got to become more active. I'd love to sit back and wait for it all to happen. But part of the fun of being a fan is, here's what I want to happen. Let's go do something.
Right. And maybe they're just playing everything extremely close to the vest, which would be a complete opposite. Remember when it seemed like there was a leak coming from Santa Clara almost every other day? And
oh, yeah.
A lot of people suspected that it was Jed York leaking all this stuff, but maybe this is their organizational response to that period of time in the Niners' history when everything was leaked. Now, we're hearing almost nothing,
yeah.
And I think a lot of Niners fans would prefer to hear something. You got a bunch of money on free agency. You got this 2-pick. We've got no clue what they're thinking of doing with that 2-pick. We have no clue who they're targeting in free agency.
You know, I mentioned Robert Mays. We're still efforting Robert Mays. He writes about the NFL for The Ringer. And I'm looking through all the play. He has a top 10 list of free agents. And then on that list, he has, you know, teams who might be interested in them or consider are or they would be good fits for. So Nick Foles, he's got Jaguars and Dolphins. He's going to go to the Jaguars, apparently. It seems that way. Then you've got Le'Veon Bell, and he's got the Raiders. He's got the Jets. He's got the Buccaneers. All right? He's got a center. He's got Bills, Rams, Panthers. He's got a wide receiver, Williams. Who does he have him going? Ravens, Browns, Colts, Bills, Raiders, Cardinals. I haven't heard the 49ers. Don't you just want to be in the discussion on somebody? Here's a tackle. Bills, Texans, Cardinals, Giants, Broncos. Darrell Williams, tackle. Come on, give me a 49ers. Bills, Texans, Cardinals, Giants, Broncos. Trent Brown, tackle. Come on, give me 49ers. Cardinals, Bills, Texans, Giants. Bridgewater, I don't think you're not going to need that.
Just laying in the weeds, Coz. Sneak attack.
A guard. Give me a 49ers. Giants, Jets, Texans, Broncos, Bills, Vikings. All right, Golden Tate. I know I'm going to get 49ers on this, right? Patriots, Colts, Bills, Ravens, Redskins. Don't you want your team in on something if they're bad? They're bad. They're a 3-win team.
But how do we know they're not in on all these?
Because Robert Mays didn't write their name.
Oh, okay. But Robert Mays won't pick up his phone, so how reliable is he, really?
Exactly. That's a good point.
Come on.
That's an excellent point, his reliability. Maybe he didn't spring forward.
I'm going to jump this guy if he ever comes on.
I bet he didn't spring forward. Right? That's the problem.
Come on. Anybody who didn't spring forward doesn't own a phone. Because your phone does that
instantly
for you.
Instantly does that?
Yeah.
Maybe he's a wristwatch guy.
Like, I set my alarm with confidence at 10 o'clock last night that my phone was going to do what it's supposed to do, and I wasn't going to be hosed when I woke up.
Do you always trust the phone?
Yes.
I don't.
Because then I'll have something to blame if something goes wrong.
When I'm doing mornings and I got to get up in the 4 o'clock hour, I am up all night peeking at my clock.
I know. I'm going to be doing that all week, because I got to do the 5 to 6 this week.
I previewed recently.
Not
all week, Mike Orbeck.
I have to. I get to.
Okay.
That means a 3 a.m. wake-up call in Livermore.
Do what Kolsky does. Stay up all night and come in, do the show, go home, go to bed.
Yeah, but I got to pick up my daughters from school, get them to swim practice, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm just giving you a suggestion.
No, I hear you. What it's going to be is after I'm off the air at 6 a.m., I will go home. I will try to sleep until 1:45, which is when I got to get over to school and pick them up. And the last drop off is at 3:30. I guess I'll go to bed then.
I may. Oh, you can get a little sneak in.
Siesta.
You know, early. And then, you know, you go get them and you drop them off and then you go home and a little sneak and then you. But you got to watch stuff because you got to have something to talk about.
Exactly.
Michael Urban, Monday through Friday, the pregame show, 5 to 6 a.m.
We might do good football, bad football every damn day.
It's not
day.
A bad call. We're going to do it today because yep. That's a signature. Let's hit some. Oh, are we going to? We got a guest.
Oh, look at the phone line.
We got phone lines popping. I got guests possibly popping. Give me Larry. Give me Oakland Larry before we get to our potential guest. Oakland Larry, welcome in. Urban and Cozumel, 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Super awesome.
L Dog.
I'm rocking for Derek Carr, but also I'm a Raider fan. And if I was a 49er fan, just like you guys spoke of, I'd be highly upset
of no moves happening for the 49ers. Antonio Brown said he wanted to be a 49er, and they let him come to the Raiders. If he goes out and have a 1,200-yard, 7-touchdown season, and the Raiders' leading receiver is George Kittle again, that looks bad.
Hey, let me ask you, Larry. Remember when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons? Didn't he have a number one wide receiver that he was able to, you know, draw up some pretty good plays for? A guy named Julio Jones. You mean to tell me Antonio Brown wouldn't have been the equivalent of Julio Jones in a Kyle Shanahan offense? Are you kidding me? Come on, man. Larry, you're right on. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call. Am I right or am I not right?
I agree with you completely, and I'm dying to hear what Doug in Oakland has to say because he wants to talk about the Niners' culture and how Antonio Brown could have disrupted it. What has a culture been established? Did I miss that? What's going on? What's up, Doug?
You know, I think they're working on it. So the reason for my call is that I have a good friend who has a personal relationship with Jed York. And when Harbaugh was getting let go, Jed York had told my really good friend, in confidence, that he was not happy with the culture that was established on the team through Harbaugh. You know, Alden Smith was getting in trouble, Ahmad Brooks, a slew of other names in the Niners were getting in trouble. And so things were falling apart, and York was not happy with the culture that Harbaugh established. And so he got rid of Harbaugh, and I think that they're just really trying to stay focused on creating a positive culture, a winning environment where people aren't in the news, constantly getting in trouble, and they're contributing on the field as well. And so I think, and I'm a Niner fan, I'm not sure this is right or wrong or different, but I think Niner fans are probably going to have to get used to the fact that they're going to try to get guys who are high-character guys who can also play football. And guys like Antonio Brown, they just don't fit that mold, potentially, you know, in York's perception and by extension of that through the head coach as well. And I think that's kind of what's going on right now.
Are you good with that if you're a Niner fan? Are you good with saying, you know what, we've seen bad football for half a dozen years. I'm willing to wait it out and bring in a bunch of good guys and get a good culture so that we have good guys that we can cheer for, whether they're 7-9 or, you know, 8-8.
That's a tough one, and I've been on the fence about that for a while, but I'm kind of like a long game type of person, and I have patience. And so I would like to see a culture established, a culture of positivity and teamwork where you're not in the news constantly, but you can bring some high-character guys in who can play ball. And if it takes a couple more years, you know, through the draft and picking up some solid free agents, I think I'm willing to wait.
I like it. Doug, thank you very much.
Winning with class.
That's what we want to do. Thank you, Jed. Jed was listening, and his friend, our caller's friend, has a personal relationship with Jed.
We have the best coaching staff. They're going to catch you, and they're going to eat you alive.
How do you want to win, Jed?
Winning with class.
Okay.
Who's going to catch you and eat you alive? Where'd that come from? That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Was last year, look, he gave him 6-year deals because he knows how screwed up things were, right? I'm going to give them 6 years. That's his concession to having made a bunch of really bad decisions. We're only entering year 3, which is why I think it's too early to have guys' feet on the fire, especially given the major injuries last year. Am I being too soft?
You know what? I think, get this, I think you're not being soft. You're actually maybe being too tough on them. What if I told you it's not year 3, it's year 1.5?
That's about right.
Because all the things that we said earlier, our two biggest pieces that we had weren't there last year. So
for the glass half full Niner fan, yes. That's the way to look at it.
I didn't really get a year 2.
Right.
So I'm like, where I am now is like year 1.5 leading into what could get me to 2.5 after next year's full season.
And as it relates to Garoppolo, I think the big question, and look, I'm Bay Area born and raised, and while the Jets were the team that I quote-unquote adopted, I still, you know, Niners and Raiders, and Niners in particular, because I grew up in Redwood City, and they trained there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how anybody could be certain that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be what they hope he's going to be, because you watch the way he ended that season, which prompted the massive contract, he looked really good. But then you look at what little time he was on the field last year, he looked okay.
Mm-hmm.
He never looked like the Jimmy G that we were talking about the year before. He looked like a quarterback who had less than 10 NFL starts and was going to make his share of mistakes. So as a Niner fan, I do have quite a bit of Niner fandom in me. I'm still on the fence about Jimmy G.
If an official way about 45 yards away from a play doesn't throw a bogus flag in that Detroit Lions second game of the year, Jimmy G flat out looks bad.
Right.
Right?
Right?
He's not definitely not the guy who was 5-0 or 6-0? 5-0. 5-0?
5.
5-0. He's definitely not that guy. That was lightning in a bottle guy.
Well, and we had a texter earlier pointing out, and again, it's small sample size, but still, just as many picks as touchdowns, or at least really close to even, it's not a great ratio. The jury's still out, is what I'm saying, and I don't know if that frustrates Niners fans that they were so quick to give Jimmy G that contract. Why not franchise him? And find out what he's got. Give yourself one more year to evaluate before you commit the way you committed.
I'm gonna flip flop now because that's what I like to do. I'm gonna take the 49ers case in this one and okay. Take the call that we had about culture, and it was an interesting, it's an interesting text. We're getting a ton of really interesting texts about culture and whether it's good for the team. You won't get better than 7-9 if you don't have a good culture. Antonio Brown won't make it through the season. Gruden and AB is a control freak. Dating a stripper? What? I don't know what that's all about. I'm not worried about that. But look at this. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are considered to be a team with the greatest culture in the National Football League.
Really?
Among them. Yes. Mike Tomlin supposedly is this great guru, although I think he should have been kicked out of the league the one year he stood on the field during the one play and almost injured a player and acted as if he didn't know what was going on. He was looking up at the board and he was getting in the way of a return man, I believe it was. It was an ugly, ugly situation. Regardless, the Steelers are supposed to have this great infrastructure. They've only had three head coaches in a gazillion years. Don't you know that, Michael?
Yeah.
Come on, man. They're super. Follow me. Le'Veon Bell is part of that great culture. Doesn't even show up for an entire season. One of their best offensive players decides not to show up for the final game of the year. Maybe that culture isn't so great.
Maybe that underscores your point about Tomlin.
So I'm
favorite text of the day, by the way.
Yeah.
What culture? This is from the 650. What culture? 2 question marks. F culture. We need violent men who play like monsters.
I got to be honest with you.
I like it.
You got
it.
You know what?
Do need violent men who play like monsters.
The National Football League is an ugly game. It's an ugly game. I love watching the National Football League. The things that go on there are not, they're otherworldly. Okay, those are not normal human beings. And I mean that from a physical perspective and just what they put their bodies and minds through. So that I'm just trying to, let's be honest about it. But when you talk about a culture that's not great, maybe one player disrupts the culture. The Steelers were 9-6-1 last year. If you're a 49er fan, would you take 9-6-1 right now? If I told you you could be 9-6-1 next year.
Hell yeah, you would take that.
And you'd have to go through some tumultuous times. You'd be 9-6-1. Now, 9-6-1, just looking real quick, that gets you on the outside looking in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You'd have just missed the playoffs at 9-6-1. But would you take 9-6-1?
Yeah.
I would, too. With a little bit of drama along the way?
You can't start thinking about playoffs until you establish yourself as a 500 or better team. It's as simple as that. You can tell me that there's been teams who made the playoffs in the NFL with losing records or with an 8-8. Yeah, it's going to happen now and then. But I'm sorry, 8-8 for me is just you have started your climb out of mediocrity.
Great stuff on, what was that? Real quick.
Mediocre.
That's right. Mediocre. We were going to get to the phone calls. 888-957-9570.
Fillmore Mike, I want to hear him.
We're going to get to Fillmore Mike real quick because he's got some good stuff to come. A little more football. Later on, we're going to talk some baseball because the Major League Baseball and the South Atlantic League are doing something that's interesting / weird.
Yeah.
And you've got some great baseball insights. Urban and Cozumel, till 4 on 95.7 The Game.
Urban and
Cozumel. That's a guitar riff, brother.
Ripping it up.
Yep. Always wanted to learn how to play the guitar.
Start with Guitar Hero.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
I've heard of many people teaching themselves how to be a legit guitarist through Guitar Hero.
Is that true?
I've never played Guitar Hero, so I don't know, but I have heard people say they learned. Post Malone. You're familiar with him. I'm sure you're a huge Post Malone fan.
Not at all.
claims to be a pretty good guitarist, claims to have learned it from Guitar Hero.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I've always wanted to learn how to play a musical instrument. I don't know how. And guitar, I'd like to play guitar.
I taught myself how to play bass when I was in high school. But I'm left-handed, so I taught myself how to play a right-handed bass held upside down.
That's awesome. My daughter's left-handed, and she's learning how to play the ukulele upside down.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Now, is that your ringtone, your daughter playing ukulele?
No, but I didn't know you could do that. Could I do that?
I think so. You can record it and then, right? Fine. Your daughter will know how to do it, I guarantee.
Yeah, you're right. She's 13.
Guaranteed.
She gets it. All right, Urban and Cozumel with you, 95.7 The Game. A lot of good NFL talk. I know we're coming up on the summer game. We'll get some baseball later on. I like talking about the NFL. And the biggest story going is Antonio Brown landing with the Raiders, but it has repercussions for both teams in the Bay and the one that's going to stay in the Bay, right? Because you would think, listen, the 49ers are going to own the Bay Area market in just 2 years. They're going to own it. That's a big deal. Their franchise value goes up because of it. Because the Raiders are leaving. There's only one team. You get the whole thing. Don't you want to go back to your super greatness?
Sure. Don't you think the Niners have always owned the Bay Area and always will? Like the Giants.
But
I know A's fans don't like hearing it, but it's undeniable.
I do think the 49ers are the biggest wheel. If everything is equal, didn't we talk about this?
There's no such thing as a casual Raiders fan. There are many casual Niners fans.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's a compliment to Raider Nation.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we go to Fillmore, Mike? He's
just we're going to do that, but first I want to give everyone the cap space numbers. 49ers, according to overthecap.com, 49ers have $66 million of cap space. The Raiders have $63.6 million in cap space.
I wonder if that was pre-trade or...
Yeah, that's what I was wondering as well on the trade where they give them a three-year, $50 million deal, but $30 million
guaranteed. Yeah.
So let's get Fillmore Mike. Fillmore Mike, welcome in. Urban and Cozumel on a Sunday, 95.7 The Game. What about John Lynch? Where do you put him in the equation?
Cozumel, I don't know what you smoked this morning, bro, but you getting everybody name wrong. You calling McKinney. You called Antonio Brown just now. Santonio Brown.
Santonio?
I love you. Yeah, bro. I don't know what you hitting some good treats, cookies or whatever. Anyway,
OG Kush, but that's another story. Let's go, Fillmore Mike.
Kush over cookies, all good. Anyway,
Fillmore Mick.
John Lynch is getting a failing grade, man. His job is to acquire talent. Kyle Shanahan's job is to coach. Kyle Shanahan is coaching up these players that John Lynch is providing, and it's like, come on, bro, like you got to spend some money. I think he's in over his head. Honestly.
But Fillmore, we've been told that Shanahan has the final say. So can you put it all on Lynch?
As far as acquiring the talent, I guess you can't. If that's the case, maybe Kyle Shanahan. I mean, Kyle Shanahan is a good coach. It's obvious he can coach the offense.
Right.
I mean, does Kyle Shanahan have say so over the defensive players that are chosen? I mean, John Lynch picked up his classmate. Come on, man. What you picking up your classmate for? I want to, you feel me? Like, that was a dumb pick. Solomon Thomas ain't nobody. I mean, you guys have a nice day. I'm very frustrated in the Niners and a lack of an offseason.
Thank you for the call, Fillmore Mike.
I'm going to do better on those names, buddy. Thank you for the constructive criticism. Funk bass or rock on you when you were playing the bass?
Oh, funk.
Slapping the bass.
Absolutely.
Were you slapping the bass? I'm slapping the bass.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.